Hello, everyone. Welcome again to our chapter book reading. And as always, I'm going to start with a joke and something exciting after I do the joke. What do you get when you cross a computer with a skunk? Computer and skunk. The answer is a computer. Okay, enough being silly. Good news, great news, exciting news. The 2021 Great Stone Face titles. Allies by Alan Gratz. The Best of Iggy by Annie Barrows. Bouncing Back by Scott Otzler. Charlie Thorne and the Last Equation by Stuart Gibbs. From the Desk of Zoe Washington by Janae Marks. I Survived the Sinking of the Titanic by Lauren Tarshis. Now, this is a survived book, which I have them, but now it's come out in graphic novel. Notorious by Gordon Corman. The Changeling series, The Oddmire Book One by William Ritter. Other Worlds, Words for Home by Jasmine Warga. Owl's Outstanding Donuts by Robin Yardi. Planet Earth is Blue by Nicole Pantaglikos. I hope I'm saying these names right. A Royal Guide to Monster Slaying by Kelly Armstrong. Shadow School, Book One, Archimancy, hard to say, J.A. White. Squint by Chad Morris. A Slip of a Girl by Patricia Riley Giff. Stay by Bobby Pyron. A Talent for Trouble by Natasha Ferrant. Tito the Bone Crusher by Melissa Thompson, Wildfire by Rodman Philbrick, and A Wolf Called Wander by Roseanne Perry. We own two of those already. I have ordered all of them. They have not come in yet. Hopefully in a week or two, we will be doing curbside, but you can check our catalog, and now you have the list. So you can contact me and we will start, hopefully, like I said, in a week or two doing curbside pickup. And then you'll be able to start to read those. So now back to our story. Arcade and the Triple T Token, The Coin Slot Chronicles by Rashad Jennings. And it is given in permission to read by Zondervan, a division of HarperCollins. And we know that the Daisy rolling suitcase was stolen and there was someone watching them through the aquarium. So now we gotta call the cops, Scratchy said. That guy can't hide very long with a lime green daisy covered suitcase. Yeah, you're right. I ran up to the circulation desk. Excuse me, I said to the unfamiliar lady who was checking out books. There's been a theft. May I use the phone to call the police? Oh no, a thief? A theft? What was stolen? Miss Weckles appeared and joined us at the desk. What's wrong, boys? Someone's been picking daisies, Scratchy pointed out the door. I saw him take off in a cab with all of Arcade's library books. Miss Weckles reached around the corner and picked up the phone, dialed a couple numbers, and then handed the phone to me. Speak slowly and clearly. 911, what's your emergency? I took a deep breath. Hello? My name is Arcade Livingston. I'm at the Ivy Park Public Library. Someone stole my rolling suitcase full of library books. He also took my phone. When did this happen exactly? Just a few minutes ago. My friend ran out the door and saw an old guy getting into a cab with all my stuff. Okay, stay right where you are. We're sending a unit out. They'll be there in 5 minutes. The police arrived in 3 minutes, and they were finished taking down the report in 10. The officer made a quick call to someone and then pulled me aside. We'll do all we can, Arcade, but I'm afraid the chance of finding your items is pretty slim. I felt worse than if I'd been hit in the gut. I'm going to owe the library for the rest of my life. Miss Weckles walked around to the other side of the circulation desk and began entering information into a computer. Don't fret yet. I'm renewing all those books you have out, which will give you another 3 weeks to find them before any fines kick in. What about my phone? I asked the police officer. It's probably been reset and sold by now. These thieves work fast, but just in case, make sure your parents call your carrier and take it off your plan so they can't rack up any charges on your account. Would you like me to take you home and handle this with your parents? No, it's okay. I'll let them know everything. The officer looked concerned. You sure? I nodded. Yeah, I came here with my friend and he can take me home. Name's Scratchy. Even Scratchy doesn't call himself Scranton anymore. Nice to meet you, Scratchy. Jerry Gerard, 20th Precinct. 20th Precinct? I wonder if he knows Officer Frank and Samson. Nice to meet you, sir. Do you get many thefts from libraries? I mean, they can borrow the books for free, so why steal them? It's not reasonable. Officer Gerard laughed. That's a good question. Problem is, most criminals aren't reasonable. We never know exactly why they do things. Maybe the guy just needed a suitcase and didn't realize what was inside. Did you lose anything else, Arcade? Miss Wexels handed me a receipt for the renewals. Just my library card and my project booklet from school. I could probably get another one. I hadn't really done much work in it anyway, with all the career confusion. And I can issue you a new library card. I'll even pay the replacement fee for you. Are you sure? Of course, you're our best patron. Yeah, for 3 more weeks. After that, I'm toast. Now chapter 27, Breaking the News. Scratchy and I rode all the way home without talking. The motor squealed and so did my head with thoughts of what returning home without Daisy would mean. I'll never be able to go to the library by myself again. I'll never be able to check out books again. I'll never be trusted with a phone again. Mom will never lend me a girly suitcase again, but that's okay. We pulled up to my brownstone stairs where Zoe was sitting, talking and laughing with Michael Tolley. Hello, Arcade. Michael stood and held out his hand to shake mine. I looked over at Zoe and her cheeks had turned a little red. Hey, Michael, who's your friend with the awesome scooter? Scratchy parked the scooter and came up the steps. You can call me Scratchy. That's cool, Scratchy. Zoe stood up next to Michael. Michael was just telling me about his voice lessons, and he was singing a little. Then both looked at each other and giggled. Yeah, we've been having some fun. I'm trying to get your sister to sing with me, but she's a little stubborn. Zoe? Stubborn? Never. But Michael, you have such a good voice. They went on talking like I wasn't even standing there. I'm sure you do too, Zoe. Your speaking voice is lovely. Aw, thank you. This was grossing me out. Zoe, I have to talk to you right now. Zoe put a hand on my shoulder. What's wrong? There was a little mishap at the library, Scratchy said. Michael stepped back. Oh, hey, man, I'm sorry. I'll let you two have some time. Then he turned to Zoe. If there's anything I can do to help, just call me. You've got my number. Zoe smiled. Yes, I do. Thank you, Michael. She watched him as he walked across the street into his house, 3 doors down. Then she sat down on the stairs again. So what was this mishap that just interrupted my pleasant afternoon? Zoe scratched the back of it. Scratchy scratched the back of his head. I think maybe I should go. I'll see you on Monday, Arcade. Nice to meet you, Zoe. He walked back over to his scooter and revved it up. I waved, see you, Scratchy. While I turned around, Zoe was glaring at me. Okay, spill it. And then her eyes opened wide. You used the token again, didn't you? Use it, Zoe? I've told you, I don't even know how it works. I couldn't use it if I tried. Then what was the mishap? Someone stole Mom's suitcase from the library with all my library books in it and my phone. Zoe let her face drop into her hands. What do you mean? Weren't you watching it? Well, no. But who would steal a suitcase full of books at a library? It's not reasonable. Zoe sighed. We're in a city now, Arcade. You have to be careful with your things. You have to always be watching. I should have been with you. Speaking of watching, I also think the guy who took the suitcase was watching us. I saw his face in the aquarium, and it gave me the creeps. Did you call the police? Of course, I'm not totally clueless. Good. Then let's go tell Mom. She's going to hate that you lost Daisy. I didn't lose her. She was stolen. Same thing. Gulp. I wondered what it would be like to be grounded in New York. We were about to walk in the door when Zoe's phone buzzed. Arcade, why are you texting me? I raised my palms to the clouds. My phone's stolen. I'm not texting you. Zoe looked down at her phone. Uh-oh. She turned it around to show me the messages. I have your suitcase. I will trade it for my token. Details to follow. His token? What is he talking about? The token's mine. The lady gave it to me. My name is on it. How does he even know about it? This complicates everything. Zoe sat on the floor in my room, where she had dragged me after seeing the text. She stared at her phone. Should I block the number? Should I change my number? Arcade, whose number did you have programmed into your phone? That was easy to remember. You, Mom, and Dad. Are you sure that's all? And Derek, oh, and Amber, Bailey, and Doug. But I just added those on Friday. And do you have ICE information programmed into? ICE, I-C-E, in case of emergency. Yes, Mom made me put in my address, phone, and other stuff. Zoe hit her forehead. Then he knows where we live. Not exactly. I programmed all that when we were still in Virginia, and I didn't change it when we moved. So he doesn't know where we live. Phew. Zoe blew out her breath. And I don't think he can track my phone in any way. Phew. That's a relief. I'm going to block the number. She poked a few things on her phone. There. That's the end of Mr. Suitcase Thief. We'll let the cops deal with him. She stood. Come on, let's go tell Mom and Dad everything, except the part about the token for now. I have no idea how we would even start to explain that. Mom and Dad were finally both home at the same time. They sat on the love seat in the living room, across from Zoe and me, where we sat on opposite edges of our couch. And the guy just ran out of the library, got in a cab, and disappeared. I felt tears welling up. I'm so sorry, Mom. I know how much you love that suitcase. Mom rushed over and wrapped her arms around me. Listen, Arcade, I didn't love that suitcase. I love you. I'm so sorry this happened. I should have been there with you. I'm just glad you're safe. What a horrible experience this must have been for you. I wondered if she could feel the chain with the token around my neck. Moms notice everything. I tried to pull back a little. Dad came over, pulled Mom out of her hug, and gave me one, too. I'm proud of you, son. You handled your first crime in New York with courage and wisdom. Calling the police, filing the report. I would have been a mess if this had happened to me when I was 11. And here comes the grounding. We'll call the phone carrier and then the police station to see if Officer Gerard needs any information from us. And then I think we should have a family night. But don't you have to go to work? Zoe asked. Yes, but I'm not going to. I think Manhattan doors will open just fine without me tonight. It was the best night we'd had in New York City yet. Dad and I threw a football in the backyard for an hour. Our yard isn't as big as the one we had in Virginia, but that didn't matter. We got to stand closer together and talk about everything, except the token. A couple of times I almost told him, I hate holding anything back from my parents. Zoe and Mom cooked up my favorite meal, spaghetti and meatballs. And since it was a warm spring night, we ate outside on our patio furniture, under an umbrella, in our new place, all together, like normal. We played board games after that, and then we watched old movies of when Zoe and I were little kids. We laughed a lot. The next morning, we tried a new church in the city, and we sat together and worshiped as a family. The pastor talked about the storms of life, how God is our anchor, and how important family and friends are to help us while we're going through them. It was just what I needed, because I had a feeling a storm was coming. On Sunday night, Zoe and I made a deal. I wouldn't take the token off my neck. We wouldn't go anywhere without each other except to school, and we would watch each other's backs like hawks. If I spotted the aquarium guy or even got that weird shadowy feeling again, we'd tell Mom and Dad everything. Doug joined us for the walk to school on Monday morning. "I've been checking out food trucks," he said. "I can't decide what food I want to truck around." Ha, get it? Truck around? I remembered the great spaghetti and meatballs from the night before. "I think Italian food would be good." Doug rubbed his belly. "I think Italian food would be good. Or maybe a dessert truck," Zoe added, "with Belgian waffles." "Hey, Zoe, did Belgian waffles originate in Belgium?" Zoe threw her head back and rolled her eyes. "Stop, Arcade. Just stop." "Well, if they didn't, I vote for warm chocolate chip cookies. My favorite." "Warm chocolate chip cookies?" Doug licked his lips. "Where can I get some of those right now?" "Yeah, I know. Let's change the subject," my stomach rumbled. "You're making me hungry." Doug's phone chimed. "Uh-oh, check this out. Event planner Bailey has sent Team Triple T a message," he read. "Don't forget, K9 Academy tour on Wednesday. Put it in your planner." "What's she talking about? I don't do planners. I'm a food truck guy." Zoe came to Bailey's defense. "She sounds very thorough. You're lucky to have her on your team. Don't forget, Arcade, we're taking Milo in for his appointment on Wednesday, too." "Is that your bird?" Doug asked. "Yes, Zoe. He has a little ailment." "Yeah, I heard. Arcade told me he needs his beak wired shut so he can't talk." Zoe gave me the stink eye. "Did you tell him that?" "Yeah, maybe. But that was right after we got here, and all he would say was, 'New York, New York,' like I need a reminder that I wasn't in Virginia anymore." As we approached the subway entrance, Zoe began to bite the nail on her pinky finger. I pulled her aside. "Don't worry, it's going to be a good day. They can't ignore you forever." Zoe stared at me. "And the joke is? No joke. You're a good person. They'll figure that out soon." She smiled, reached out her hand, and pushed me back a step. "Thanks. Now go straight to school and don't go anywhere but here after it's all over. You got my back and I got yours, remember?" "Yeah," she turned. "Hey, Zoe, you got something on your back." She reached around and craned her neck to look. "What?" "I don't know, but it's gross looking. Oh, wait, that's just your blouse." I turned and ran with Doug. I heard her yell, "And you have aquarium breath," she yelled. All right, chapter 28, Wednesday weirdness. Wednesday came and I didn't even have to put it in my planner. I would never forget about a chance to get rid of Milo. But I was also a little nervous returning to the scene of the surgery. Zoe met me at the subway entrance after school. We rushed home, got Milo, and then took the subway over to West 83rd Street, the location of the Positive Pet Care Center. "Feels different than last time," I said. "The building's the same, but it seems like it was on a different piece of property or something. The bushes and trees are smaller." "And there's a whole lot less glitter," Zoe stood by the door, checking out the clouds. "Wah! Triple T, Triple T." "Milo, shh." Zoe carried Milo in a yellow bird carrier that looked like a backpack. "Why don't we just drop the backpack at the door and run for our lives?" Zoe grabbed the sleeve of my sweatshirt and held on tight. "Oh no, we're going in together." "But what if they recognize us?" I pulled my hood up over my head. Zoe pulled it off. "You were a hairy man the last time you were here. That's highly unlikely." "But you look kind of like yourself." I reached over and flicked her ponytail. Zoe sat Milo down on the ground, took her glasses out of her purse and put them on, and then she changed her ponytail into a messy bun on the top of her head. "There, how's that?" I covered my face with my hands and shivered. "Scary, but I think it will work." "Okay," Zoe picked up Milo, "be observant. Let's go." Walking in the front door was the hardest part. I half expected Kate to run up and pull up down the hallway to perform a cat appendectomy, but nothing like that happened. The office was full of pets, cats, dogs, birds, and there was even a little girl over in the corner with a pot-bellied pig. "May I help you?" A dark-haired young woman grinned at us from the front desk. She smiled. Let me guess. Is this Milo? Bawk, tipple tiri, triple T. Be quiet, goofy bird. Aw, that's so cute. What is he saying? I pointed to the bird carrier. You think he's cute? Ha! Zoe shoved her elbow into my side. He's saying, dribble D, we have this cousin, Derek, and he's a point guard. So that's our cheer for him. Dribble D. My sister is brilliant sometimes. Well, Milo is one smart birdie, if you ask me. The lady came from around the desk to take a look at him through his little backpack window. Smart birdie, smart birdie. Yeah, I chuckled. So brilliant, he's pecking himself all of his feathers off. Aw, he probably just needs a little medicine, right, Milo? I don't think your uncle likes you very much. What's your name, uncle? Who doesn't like the smart birdie? Me? His uncle? Nah, I'm not related. He can be annoying, so I like to tease him. My names are... Zoe gave me an instant, intense stare. Arnie. Uncle Arnie. And what's your mama's name, Birdie? I'm Zoe. Okay, Zoe, would you and Arnie like to follow me back to the exam room? I'd like Arnie to stay in the waiting room. He stresses Milo out. He's probably the cause of the problem. The girl laughed. That's fine. And then she turned to me. The waiting room is a little busy right now. We had a bunch of people walk in without appointments. You're welcome to sit in my chair until I return. Thanks, but I'll be fine just standing right here. Okay, Zoe, you can follow me back. Zoe gathered her things and whispered to me before she left. Look around, but don't get caught. And then she disappeared down the clinic's hallway. First, I went to the other side of the desk. It was the same desk as the other day, but now the block letter calendar said April 7th. A young woman wearing scrubs came in the front door, so I backed out of the space. Can I help you? She breezed by me and grabbed a file off the desk. Just looking for some water. She pointed to a mini fridge in the corner. We have some little bottles in there. Help yourself. I flashed a grin. Thanks. She scanned the waiting room. Wow, it's a busy one today. She disappeared down the hallway too. I grabbed a water bottle, loosened the top, and pretended to drink while I searched the walls for Amber's and my veterinary certificates. Didn't find them anywhere. Whew, okay, then maybe it was all just a dream, or something like a dream. A jingle sounded as some new people walked in the door. It was a police officer with a familiar-looking, cone-wearing German shepherd. The dog and I made eye contact, and he began to bark and wag his tail. The officer grinned at me. Good afternoon. Samson likes you. That must mean you're a good guy. He reached down and patted him on the back. He just had surgery a few days ago. This is the liveliest I've seen him since then. I reached out to pet him. I could tell he knew who I was. Boy, was I glad he couldn't talk. How's he doing? Is he your partner? Like I didn't know the answer to that. Yes, Frank peeked around at Samson's face in front of the cone. He's my best friend, too. He just can't keep himself from eating the wrong things. I knelt down and let Samson lick my hand. You gotta stop eating balls, okay, buddy? How did you know he ate a ball? I stood up. Oh, I just guessed. My dog Loopy eats balls. What else would a dog eat? Oh, let me tell you, socks, wallets, hats, sticks, I could go on. The ball almost killed him, though. How's he doing? Sweat poured down my back. He's healing nicely. The doctors here are excellent, right, Samson? He loved Dr. Orion. He had to take out some of his intestines, but he sewed them up real nice. Dr. Orion? I glanced back up on the wall, and there it was. A veterinary certificate for a George Orion. Phew! I turned back to Frank, who was waiting for me to respond to his last comment. Sorry, I had to get a drink. What had he just said? Oh yeah, intestines. 8 inches. That's a lot to take out. I'm glad it all went well. Frank crunched his eyebrows together. Did I say how many inches he took out? What? Did you? I don't know. Did I? It sounded like a conversation with Doug. Luckily, the dark-haired girl came down the hall and interrupted the awkwardness. Hello, Officer Langdon. Doc said to bring Samson right on in. Thanks so much, he grinned at me. It was nice talking to you. Nice talking to you, too, and I hope Samson is 100% real soon. Samson snuggled his cone right up to me. It scraped me in the knee. He licked and licked, almost as much as Loopy. Frank had to drag him away. Come on, boy. Then he looked at me. Man, he really likes you. I sat next to Zoe on the subway and tried to talk her into taking me straight home. Whoa, that was a close call. I can't go to the K-9 Academy after that. I'm too stressed. Someone's going to find me out. She had her face up against the netting of Milo's carrier. Hear that, Milo? Your Uncle Arnie is stressed. Serves him right for causing your feather picking. Would you like to try Milo's herbal treatment arcade? It felt good to have Zoe tease me. Calm me down, actually. Yes, we can go home. Do you want to text Bailey from my phone? She handed it over to me. I would, but I don't remember her number. It was programmed in my phone, which is gone. It was also written in my project workbook, which is also gone, Zoe said. Her phone buzzed in my hand. It was from an unidentified number. My temperature rose when I read it. If you block me again, I will call your mom, the thief. Zoe put Milo's cage down beside her. What's up now? I showed Zoe and she stared at the message without saying a thing for a few seconds. Okay, let's think about this for a minute. He has my number, so blocking him will do no good. He'll just use another phone to contact me. But what does this mean? I will call your mom, the thief. How is mom a thief? No, that's not how I read it. I think it means he'll call mom, signed, the thief, which is him. But he spelled thief wrong. I knew the I before E thing is confusing, but doesn't he know that spelling is a very important skill? He spelled it T-H-E-I-F, but it's supposed to be T-H-I-E-F. The babe said it himself, Zoe laughed and jostled me with her elbow. But commas are important too. The placement of this one is puzzling. She shrugged, then poked some things on the screen. There, I blocked him. What? Why did you do that? Now he's going to call mom. So what? Let him. What's he going to tell her? I'm calling his bluff. He only has power if we give it to him. I got goosebumps all over. What did you just say? Enemies only have power over us if we give it to them. Don't you see? He wants us to be scared. But he's the one who should be scared. He's the thief. And a bad speller at that. I sat there, rumbling along with the subway car. My sister was right. That's what the lady told me about the shadow. Remember? What? Are you talking about that day when you ended up in the park after us? Yes. She said the same word you just said. He only has power if you give it to him. Zoe nodded and smiled. Smart lady. I hope I get to meet her someday. Chapter 22. Undecided. Mr. Livingston, we are sorry, but that stop sign answer left us undecided. We need to ask you one more question in order to determine if you are the right person for the job. Okay, sure. Go ahead. I like questions. What do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, that's easy. Since I'm here interviewing to be a sixth grade teacher. We're waiting. Yes, well, when I grow up, I'd like to be. Do you need a few days to think about it? No, it's Friday, April 9th. I have to decide today. Okay, then, please tell us your answer. All right, here goes. When I grow up, I'd like to be a sixth grade teacher. Try again. Sixth grade teacher. Try again. A sixth grade teacher. Thump, thump, thump. Arcade, are you up? No, try again. What? Ugh, it was the morning I had been dreading. This time I woke up lying on my stomach, using a library book as a pillow. So glad I didn't drool. Hang on, Zoe. I walked over to my desk and skimmed over the paper I typed up last night. Career Expo Outline, Arcade Livingston, Alps Mountain Climbing Guide. Yawn. Congratulations, Arcade. You have succeeded in presenting the job of Alps Mountain Climbing Guide as the most boring job on the planet. Someone's here to see you. The way Zoe sang that greeting made me want to throw myself under the covers. Who could it be? A girl? Or worse, a Tolly? She opened the door a crack and Loopy came through, his little body quivering with excitement. He jumped up in my arms and licked all the night sweat off my neck. Ha! Gotcha, Zoe said. Had you worried there, didn't I? I thought you could use a little spit bath since you haven't bathed all month. I picked up one of my scrap papers that I'd folded into a plane and threw it at her. She knocked it down and stomped it flat. Hey, it's Friday, so don't forget your socks. She shut the door, and I could hear her heavy feet thud down the stairs. I fell down on the bed with Loopy still licking me. I couldn't help but be a little bit cheered up. You want to go to school for me today, Loop? You probably know what you want to be when you grow up. I put him down, opened my bottom drawer, and pulled out a pair of navy blue socks with donuts all over them. I know, you want to be a dog, right? Loopy stared at me and panted. You think Doug'll like these socks? I pulled them on and then threw on some clean clothes. I grabbed my backpack and Loopy and I headed downstairs. We have notes, Zoe said. I grabbed Zoe's first and began a dramatic reading. Dear Zoe, you amaze me. I can't believe how blessed I am to have you as a daughter. You make me proud every day of my life. Go out there today and dazzle them. You are God's treasure. Love, Dad. I waltzed around with the note till I could hardly stand my own humor, and I fell to the floor. Zoe picked up my note and read it out loud. Dear weird boy, get off the floor and quit bugging your amazing sister. Love. I yanked the note from her hands and read the real note to myself. Dear Arcade, the choices you are making today are shaping who you'll be in the future. I'm proud of you. Love, Dad. Zoe stood there crossing her arms. What? No dance? Nah, just confusion. We got to school fast. Good thing, because all Doug did was talk about my socks, how much he loves donuts, and how he should add donuts as an option to his current chicken and waffles food truck idea. See? It's like dinner and dessert all in one. Chicken and waffles? A donut's kind of like a waffle. Whatever you say, Doug. We had to turn our outlines in before lunch. Mr. Dooley said he wanted to grade them and return them before we were dismissed for the weekend. I expect you to start building your displays over the weekend. Time is ticking, people. This is not the only schoolwork you have, so plan your time accordingly. At 11:55, I slumped over to Mr. Dooley's desk and plopped my outline in the wooden box. Then I dragged myself back to my desk. Gonna be a great display, Arcade, Amber said. Don't worry. All I could think about was Dad's note. The choices you make today, great. I'll be living in snow at the top of a mountain for the rest of my life. Did you hear the good news? Amber was still trying to pop me out of my sorry mood. I scheduled a canine unit to come to the Career Expo. Officer Brandon McCarthy and Cody, the German Shepherd. I'm excited, but I had really hoped for Frank and Samson, if they're real. I started to tell her that they were, but the bell rang for lunch. Okay, people, I have papers to grade, so it's time for you to go. Chapter 30, Breathe. Hey, Arcade, over here. Doug waved me over to the lunch table where he and the rest of our Triple T team sat. But at another table, I spotted Ivan's coat hanging on an empty chair next to him. I ran over to Doug. I'm gonna go sit by Ivan today. We good? Doug smiled. Oh yeah, we're good. He turned to the team. He's gonna go sit by Ivan. I took my tray over and set it down by the coat chair. Can I sit here? Ivan nodded and removed the coat. On the other side of Ivan was Kevin Tolley. I knew it was him because when I sat down, he threw a napkin ball at my face. Hey, Arcade, ask Ivan to show you his muscles. Ivan rolled back his sleeve and flexed. Milk jug, biceps. I had to give it to Kevin in his junk fit gym. Ivan's arms did look bigger than before. I made up a training schedule for Ivan, and he's been at my house every day working out. We're doing before and after pictures with measurements to put in my junk fit gym display. He's kind of like my fitness model. Do you like working out, Ivan? He nodded and smiled. Hard, but good. I like. Kevin threw another napkin ball at me. And since Ivan has been helping me by being part of my fitness project, I've been helping him learn English. I choked on my pizza. Oh, well, that's a good thing, I hope. Yeah, it's always good to learn another language. He knows all kinds of words now. It's going to help him one day when he's a foreign correspondent. Maybe. I shuddered to think of what words might be part of Kevin Tolley's vocabulary. Kevin is friend, Ivan said. Strong friend. I smiled. I'm glad. And your project sounds fantastic, Kevin. Yeah, now that I took it out of your hands, it's really coming together. You should drop by Junk Fit some afternoon. I can show you brick crunches next. That'll get your stomach rock hard abs. Ivan punched his stomach a few times. Rocks! Tell you what, Kevin, after the career expo, I'll take you up on that. But right now, my gut's all knotted up with stress. Stress? Why do you have stress? I'm just nervous that my project isn't going to be good. Wait, why am I telling Kevin Tolley about my problems? This is what you got to do, Arcade. Breathe in. Kevin took a large breath and held it, and then he blew it out. Breathe out the stress. He did it again. See? Just like that. Breathing is important. I learned that while I was reading a workout book last night. You read a book last night? Yeah, got it from Miss Weckles. Stayed up real late trying to finish it. It's helping me with my career. I guess you could say you inspired me, Mr. Bookworm. Arcade is inspiration, Ivan said. I breathed in, held it, and then I blew out the stress. I finished my pizza with these strange new classmates, and to my surprise, I did feel better. Until I got to class, where Mr. Dooley was handing back our outlines. I never fail to be impressed by sixth graders, Mr. Dooley beamed. Your outlines are fantastic. Some of you may have to scale back a bit on your elaborate display ideas, but I will let you figure that out. Be sure to check the guidebook for your space requirements. Space requirements? Uh-oh, that could eliminate a zipline. You can all come and get your outlines. I scooted my chair back and stood. Mr. Livingston, may I have a word with you in my office? Mr. Dooley has a small office that's attached to our classroom. He opened the door and stood there, waiting for me. Breathe in, breathe out. I trudged to the door. Hello, Arcade. For the first time since I'd been in his class, Mr. Dooley had dialed his voice volume down to 2. I even had to lean in to hear him. Hello? Am I in trouble? He left the door to his office open, but walked in and turned his back to the class. I had to face him, and unfortunately, I could see everyone over his shoulder. I pushed my glasses up on my nose. Mr. Dooley crossed his arms and put one hand up to cradle his chin. Tell me about the Alps. I swallowed hard. Well, there are the French Alps and the Swiss Alps, and they're high mountains, and I've always wanted to climb them. I flashed some teeth. Tell me about being a mountain climbing guide. Well, sir, you really have to know the mountains to be able to guide others up it. And then there's special equipment you need and training in how to handle medical emergencies and other things. More teeth, smile. The Tolley twins were in my direct line of vision, and they were taking full advantage of my making clown faces and flapping their arms around. I turned to the side to keep from laughing or crying. Mr. Dooley handed me my outline. I didn't have a grade on it. There's a lot of good information here, Arcade. It's probably the best written paper in the class. No spelling errors, properly placed commas. Yeah, that's important. But it's lacking passion. Passion? Yes, passion. There's no excitement, no getting carried away, no dreaming here. You may have an interest in climbing the Alps once, but I don't sense you want to spend your life climbing the Alps. Am I right? Breathe in. Breathe out. Yes, sir. Mr. Dooley paced a couple of steps, then turned and retraced them. He stopped. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to issue you the new kid pass. What's that? It's something I just made up. It's going to buy you more time. I know you're in a tough transition. I moved across country when I was about your age, and it really threw me off my game for a while. I kind of lost myself while I was trying to adjust to new friends in a new school. I felt my throat tighten. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Then Mr. Dooley got in my face a bit. Thankfully, he blocked my view of the Tollies. I like you, Arcade. Everybody does, even the bullies. That's a gift you have with people. You know that? It is? Yes, and there's a reason you're like that. You were made on purpose, for a purpose.
I was?
Yes, so were all the kids in my class. Now, I know a lot of them aren't going to actually end up doing the jobs they pick for their project. That's not the reason for the project.
It's not?
No, it's for you to think about who you are, deep down, right now, when you're 11. It's for you to discover what gets you excited, what you're good at, and then realize that your unique gifts are valuable to this world. I felt a weight lift. Oh, that makes sense. First thing to make sense since I got to New York. Mr. Dooley took my outline from me, ripped it up, and threw it in the trash. Start over. You can turn this in at the Career Expo. I'll be okay with whatever you choose to do, as long as it represents who you really are. Got it? I smiled. Yeah. And thanks, Mr. Dooley. And I'm going to stop here because we're on chapter 31. Stop the recording.